Well, to help us to remember this weekend and to help us memorize those few verses, I have a gift for you. So this is hot off the press. This is not the one I have designed many years ago, over 10 years ago. That one is more with pictures. This one, I only have time to put them on a piece of paper like this, and without much graphics. Could the ushers or somebody or some brothers here help to distribute this to everyone? This is my gift for you for this weekend, and that's Psalms 92:12-14. You can frame this. You can put this on your refrigerator, whatever you like. So they're going to pass this out to each one of us. Everyone get one. Sorry, we have no Spanish and no Chinese, it's just all English. I was told, while they're still doing this, this morning we had the largest number, and that was 450. About 450 saints in this meeting, this morning. Yeah. Okay, you got it? Did you memorize it? I didn't. So let's half fake it, half trying, and see what we can do. Let's read it three times. I'll ask the sisters to read it first. And brothers, while they're reading, we try to sort of simulate memorization. And then the brothers, and then we do it together. Okay, sisters, go. So I guess the way to try to remember you starts with the righteous man. That's a good way to start. Will flourish like a palm tree. So you remember the palm tree flourish. And then he will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Okay, that's one sentence. Then planted in the house of Jehovah, the three they wills. Good to catch that. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bring forth fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and green. Okay, so brothers, let's read it. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of Jehovah, he will flourish as they will be full of sap and green. I can't do it. Okay. Now the third time. Sisters, you want to do it again? All right, let's get it. Let's prove to ourselves and any of these young people there that we can do it. Okay. All right, so sisters, you try. No problem, you know, do a little bit of that. Okay, try. They will bring forth in the old age.
They will be full of sap and green.
Very good, very good. Okay, brothers, it's our turn. Just man will flourish like the palm tree. He will dwell in the cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Jehovah. They will rejoice in courts of God. They will still pour fruit in old age. They will of sap and green. Okay, let's all do it together. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Jehovah. They will flourish in the works of God. They will still bring forth fruit in the old age. They will be full of sap and grain. I think we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay. All right, this is yours. This is yours. Maybe before we leave at 4, we will all try to do it another time. Okay. Now, what are we going to do? I was going to ask you to say something first. But now that I'm up here, I think I'm going to say something first. But we have 2 hours today, so relax, okay? This is the last meeting. First of all, before I forget, there's actually 8 2 and 3 points. I missed one. I gave you 7. All right, I gave you 7, starting with call on the Lord 2 or 3 times. Remember that? And then take 2 or 3 verses every day. This is just good habit, healthy living. And then 3, pray 2 or 3 times a day. Just have a what I call digital Sabbath, you know, just put this thing down. You know what I mean, this thing. Take a digital break, you know, and pray. Just for a few minutes here, a few minutes there in your car, some of the brothers, you can actually pray even half an hour. That's your commute time. You know, all those minutes add up. We think the way for us to do things is to do a whole lot all at once. That is not according to the natural law. You don't eat a week's worth of food. Right? Or like the polar bears, they eat enough for the whole winter and hibernate. We don't do that. We just eat a little bit, and then after a few hours, we eat a little bit. That is the healthy way to do things. So 2s and 3 works. So 2 or 3 times of prayer. And then 4, I would say 2 or 3 chapters of the Bible. You know, some of us read ministry books. We forgot the Bible. When I say Bible, you can read it. Either just a text, Old and New Testament, or some of you are challenged to read the footnotes, whatever time you may have. Some of you do it at noon, others of you before bedtime. It just, you say, after I read it, I forgot about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. You forgot about it, it's okay. But you read something very, very nice. And it will do something to you. So 2 or 3 chapters, and then 2 or 3 messages, ministry messages. I suggested life study because it's the, if you've not done it, I suggest you start there. And actually, I have a lot to say. I like to actually give a conference on just getting into life studies, to acquire the taste, the appetite. You know, in reading the Bible or reading the books, the important thing is not how you do it. The 2 things are important. 1, it's appetite. If you have appetite, I don't care what you do, you're good. All right? The terrible thing is you lost your appetite. That's a sign of illness. So the appetite for the word, for the ministry, is the most important thing. And the second thing that is important, again, is not how you do it, some kind of magic methodology to help you. There are things that can help you, but actually the important thing is that you spend time. Now, there's no replacement for time. If you just spend the time, you will get something. All right? You will get something. It is what you receive is directly proportionate to what you put in. That's the simple formula. You put in that much time, you will reap that much benefit. So I would even not go to how you study and what tool, biblical tools you use. There's a lot to talk about. I'm just being very, very simple here. You just put in the time. Now, for example, let's say I have a life study here. You take about 10 minutes and you finish it, right? You can finish a life study in 10 minutes. And you get 10 minutes worth of that life study. Me, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in the same life study. You believe me, I will get 30 minutes worth of riches from it. It's just time. It's just time. And listen, for those of us who are retired, I mean, from work and all of that, and really are more free, goodness, what is a better way to spend your day than to read the Word of God? I mean, I know some brothers, they're just waiting for that day when they retire so they can now study the Word. This is fantastic. Fantastic. You know, the Word can heal us. The Word is like medicine. The functions of the Word are just way too many to enumerate. You get actually healthier by reading the Bible. Psychologically, physically even, to read the Word of God and not all of this junk. You know, you read some of these things, you get depressed, you're psychologically affected, you feel the whole world is on fire, you feel that everything's going down the tank, you feel the U.S. is over, and when nothing of the sort is happening, but this thing, reading this, depresses you to the uttermost. So don't spend time there. Read something more uplifting, yeah? The Righteous Man, huh? Amen. How about that? The Bible is very uplifting. Read that, you know? Okay, all right. So just a little word on the 2s and 3 chapters, or 2 and 3 messages. Every week, you just do it. You just do it. And those of you who have time, get into it more. Study it. You'll never regret. Okay. What is the other 2 and 3? Go to 2 and 3 church meetings. That's very common, very doable. It is not too demanding. And many of us have lived like this for years in the church life anyway, right? You say, well, I go to the meeting, I just fall asleep. It's better to sleep in a meeting than to sleep by yourself, you know. When I die, I do have the hope that I will die in a meeting, because it's not good for the saints. But for me, a little selfishly, I really wouldn't mind just kind of, you know. What a way to go. What a way to go. The meetings, no matter what, are just where God meets with his people. And I have a lot more to say concerning them. Our meeting life needs a change. Needs a lot of upgrades, our meeting life, to be renewed, to be fresh, to be attractive. You know, the meetings have become even not attractive to ourselves. Forget the new ones. Even we don't like our meetings. So if it's not attractive to you, how can it be attractive to people? And a lot because of oldness, it becomes kind of dead, kind of a lukewarm and so forth, programmed. We need to, some other time, to just talk about that. All right, you have the group gathering. I tell you, group meetings, I have a lot to say because a lot of our group meetings are not right. They're wrong. That's why I give you one book called The Practice of the Group Meetings. I think so. I think that's one of the five books. But we'll have another time to get into that. All right? So the meetings. And then the next one is...
One's under our care.
Okay. To have two or three persons. It could be new ones. It could be young people. It could be saint. It could be sinner. Two or three under your care all the time. And when you drop one, pick up another one. Just always two or three under your care. You know, I forgot to mention that the last meeting, besides the joy, the crown, the glory, you know, the boast and all of these things, I tell you, one benefit, fantastic benefit of having some children of your own, I'm talking about spiritual children and physical children as well, is that they transform you. No one can change you, but your kids can change you. You try to change them, actually they're every day changing you. And so actually Brother Lee's talk about this, he said he's seen many sisters, nobody can change them, not even their husbands. In other words, not even marriage changed them. Then the kid came, one, then two, then three, and he saw a marked change in this transformation in this sister. A lot of the dealings, it comes from children. A lot of genuine transformation comes from the children. And that is actually a salvation to us. Am I right? A real salvation to us. So, yeah. Okay. Your peculiarity, that, by the way, that's another set of things I want to talk about on the negative side with old folks, right? I can talk all day long because I have a class in the Middle East training on these things. Anyway, peculiarity, all your quirkiness, all your hang-ups, all your, you know, these old, you know, these things. I tell you, the children would have a way to touch those things. So if you're not caring for anybody, you will always be the same. Just this unchangeable, solitary figure kind of roaming in the church life the same year after year. There's no breaking. There's no transformation. So whole. But I tell you, once you have to care for people and have spiritual descendants, that start to work on you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Okay. Now, that's seven, right? Right there is seven. So I'm going to add the eight. The eight, twos, and threes. Every week, please promise me, every week, all of you, with the help of your two or three, you know, companions, comrades, and partners, and all of this, every week, promise me, you will devote 2 to 3 hours. 2 to 3 hours to contact people. Now, don't think I'm getting all of you out to so-called knock on doors or something. There are many ways. But set apart 2 or 3 hours. Don't owe me anything, and don't owe the Lord anything. Don't owe your Lord anything. Carve out 2 to 3 hours of every week. You set it aside. You just determine. Now, I know many of you actually spend more than that time. Praise the Lord. But I'm here just setting like a kind of a baseline here, 2 to 3 hours every week to contact people. You can be at home sending out gospel tracts. You can be there calling people, saints or unbelievers or friends, to talk to them, engage them, with the view of sharing the gospel with them. You can invite people to your home for a meal. That counts in the 2 or 3 hours. You may be visiting some people. You may be actually knocking on some doors, or you may be setting up a table in some shopping center, some BFA table. Sky's the limit, but promise me you will spend 2 to 3 hours every week to do that. 2 to 3 hours also include your caring for people, your shepherding some young ones. That counts. So if you put all that together, 2 or 3 hours is actually not a whole lot. And I believe you all have 2 to 3 hours. I think so. Goodness, now I look it down, not many escaped. They just came late, that's all. Yeah. Very good, I'm very happy. Okay. So 2 to 3 hours every week. Every week. Now, I like to just go back to what I share in that last message, third message, about take the long way. Don't expect quick results, okay? Take the long view. Which is to take the laboring way, okay? You all know the tortoise and the hare, or the turtle and the rabbit, whatever you call them. You know that parable. You all know that. So in the end, who won the race? It was slow little turtle, right? Who said, a step at a time, you know, a step at a time. And this rabbit just, you know, like that, and then fell asleep. And then the turtle was there. And whoop, so he sprinted on, and then he fell asleep. In the end, the turtle won the race. That is a parable brotherly love, and he loved to tell it to us, co-workers. We all know that parable from the kid, but he loved to talk to us about the tortoise and the rabbit. Remember, the tortoise wins a race. Meaning, brothers, don't expect the quick results. Take the solid, slow, long-term way. Don't expect anything magical. Don't expect anything miraculous. You just be steadfast. You pace yourself to do this long-term endeavor. And that's why one of the biggest virtues in the New Testament is called endurance. It's a virtue. One of the top virtues in the New Testament is endurance. You know what endurance means? Endurance means patience plus. It's not patience. Patience plus what? I'll tell you. Patience plus suffering is endurance. Now, in caring for people, in bearing remaining fruit, I tell you, the way is to endure. With endurance, week after week, you go. Some of you, week after week, you just go to this neighborhood to sow the seeds, right? We have all these tracks and all these things. Some of you go to give out books. Some of you go, many diverse ways of contacting people. Do you remember Brother Lee told us these very, very moving stories? And that's talk about 1975, how I got the help. He told these moving stories in that book, The Normal Way to Fruit-Bearing and Shepherding. You got to read that book. You talk about these missionaries in the 1900s that went to China. In China, they call these missionaries from the West, they call them foreign devils. Chinese, do you know? You know Chinese, do you know foreign devils? Huh? Yangui. Okay, so they all know. That means devils from overseas, literally. Okay. So all these devils from overseas with blue eyes and blonde hair and whatnot come into these old, old China countrysides. And I mean, they are like novelties. They are like a freak show, you know? They are like, whoa, these funny people. And the kids would come out, and these, there's one missionary, I think from, what's his name? I forgot, maybe from Norway or from some Scandinavian country. You know, the Scandinavian also sent missionaries to China. And these kids just having a ball, and you threw rocks at him and ridicule him, and you know what I mean, just do all kinds of things. And this missionary would just say, thank you, to the kids, you know. That's good enough. Boom, you know, whatever rock came. Thank you, thank you. Brother Lee just told us that story, just that story. He said that's how China was won for Christ, by missionaries like this. Hudson Taylor, let me tell you, Hudson Taylor, the famous China Inland Mission founder, one of the greatest missionaries there was. And he would, you know, he is the one who said, if I have a 1,000 hearts, every one of them will be for China, okay? So he is, and so he would come back and recruit young missionaries to join CIM. And so one time he would have interviews with them. So one time this young man came to be interviewed by him. So he sat there. And this young man sat there for 10 minutes. Nobody came. For 20 minutes, nobody came. For 30 minutes, no one came. And for however long, for an hour, no one came. Eventually, his patience was just exhausted. So he left. This missionary candidate, he left. And the people told Hudson Taylor about this. Hudson Taylor said, just let him go. In China, you know how many hours it will take to gain one soul? More than 1 hour. In China, you would think that you go there, the missionaries, they just hold a meeting like this and thousands got saved. Those came later. Those were not missionaries. Those were locals doing that. I'm talking about the early missionaries, the pioneers, the trailblazers. No. Some of them go there, they don't get anybody. You know, Robert Morrison, the first missionary to China in the 1700s, he actually went to Canton, you know, my province in the south. And today his grave is in Macau. You know Macau, across from China, Hong Kong, which is also part of China now. His grave is there. And he came, and after I don't know how many years, he got one person saved. One. And who is that person? His servant. And the one that he got to serve him. He got one person saved. This is Robert Morrison. Robert Morrison. So forget about this idea about these missionaries getting hundreds and thousands. No, you're wrong. Many of them got there, never got anybody saved, perhaps. It is that hard. The soil is that tough because of these heathen, ancestral worship, Buddhistic, whatever, Chinese. Who want this foreign religion called Christianity? Another story Brother loved to tell is about this missionary. When the missionary is coming far off, that someone sees it, they just hit the gong. You know, the gong, dong, 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 dong. That means missionary foreign devil is coming. Everyone retreated back into their houses and locked the doors. So when the missionary, poor missionary show up in the village, every door is shut. That's how they welcome the missionaries. And so this mission, one story about this missionary, this is in the northern China. He would come, and eventually he would knock at one door, and after a while, either the kid or somebody who didn't know better would open a crack. The moment he opened a crack, this missionary jams his staff, you know, in there, so they couldn't close the door. Now that's real door knocking, I tell you. I mean, compared to what we face today. So, and then he would actually push himself in. And once he pushed himself in China, in northern China, there's always a courtyard out there, an area where they have animals or whatever. And they have an area where they grind the grain, you know what I mean? They grind the grain. And usually it is just this big pole. Either there's a beast or somebody, you know, just go around and around to grind the grain. So, and this missionary knows that. So right away, he would make a beeline for that place and just start grinding. Just grinding. And after some long time, the master of the house said, well, free labor, that's pretty good, you know. Give him some water. He's thirsty, give him some water. So they go and give him some water, and then eventually give him some food. That's how the gospel was preached in China. Today, there may be as many Christians in China as in the USA. Think about that. I mean, born again, real believers. There may be more, even in China, in absolute numbers, than in United States. Look, United States have 320 million people. True born again believers, probably about a quarter. Let's say a quarter. I don't mean nominal Christians. I mean real believers. A quarter is what? 80 million. And we have some reports in China. There could be more than 100 million believers. But in China, the population is 1.3 or 4 billion people. Billion people. So even with 100 million people, it is still about less than 10%. But the absolute number is bigger than the number here. You get my point. But I will tell you this much. Today in China, we have more saints in China alone in the recovery than all the saints in the recovery outside of China. Okay. Now, but in the beginning, that's how. Talk about endurance. Talk about extreme patience. Talk about those kind of stories. Word stories just touched me to the core and gave me a reality check. That no. We have this idea that we can just do this and people will come in. We have a few visits and people will... No. I tell you. There are some who are very ready by the Lord. They could be. You just speak to them, they will turn. Yes, they are. But generally, dear brothers and sisters, we're talking about bearing fruit. And fruit doesn't get born in a few hours. In 1 year, you have... on the average, one harvest, like the vine, like the grapes on the vine tree, and that is John 15. In John 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It talks about fruit bearing. That fruit bearing, according to law, is once a year. Once a year. The Lord is not looking for any one of us to bring in thousands of people. We couldn't do it anyway. The Lord is looking for each one of us to just bring in one at a time, to bear one fruit, that fruit would remain. It may take you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years to bear one remaining fruit with lots of work. But when that fruit is born, I tell you, that is a solid product. That is a product of your perseverance, your persevering labor. Brothers, let's take that way. Let's take that way. Okay, so now I've given you 8 points concerning the twos and threes. All right. Now I hope that you would all bring it to practice. Now, what am I going to talk about this time? I have a title of a message that I was going to give in the morning. Then I scratched that. Then now I feel to bring it back up again, simply because I don't have a topic for this message. So I said the message is the mysteriously ordinary and miraculously normal living. A mysteriously ordinary and miraculously normal living. So, I got the clue from that book, the Messages to the Working Saints. Okay, by the way, here, those 5 books that are sold, Don, those 5 books that are sold, I want to give you an assignment. I'm really not a good man. I'm a bad man. I make you memorize. I make you exercise. I make you do these twos and threes. I'm not very kind. That's just how I am. But I do know that if you do these things, you'll be happy and you'll be healthy. So I like to ask you to, about among the 5 books, pick up these three. And in the coming months, just take your time, in the coming months, in twos and threes or whatever you do, read through them. The first one is what I mentioned, the All Ages for the Lord's Testimony. Start there. The whole book. All Ages for the Lord's Testimony. Number two, get into this book, The guidelines for propagation, for the propagation of the Lord's recovery. This is 1984, fall time. A conference Brother Lee gave to actually the young people, but it is very, very, very good for us, for you to get a full view of the burden of the Lord in the church life. So get into that, number two. Number three, get into the book called The Messages to the Working Saints. And there you'll have one message called A Miraculously Normal Living. So I borrowed that term. But I added another term called Mysteriously Ordinary. Why? Because I was thinking Brother Lee's song. You know that song? What miracle, what mystery, that God and man should blended be. You know that famous song? So I saw miracle there. Then I saw also mystery there. And I said, we're missing the mystery part. So I said, the mysteriously ordinary and miraculously normal living. Brothers and sisters, do you know that today the Christian life, the Christian living, is mysterious. But it is ordinary. Very ordinary. Yet it's deeply mysterious. Deeply mysterious. The life, Christian life that we're living today is also nothing short of miraculous. Miraculous. And yet, it is what? Perfectly normal. But I am not sure that I have the time to now actually get into all these things. You know, every day, aren't we all living quite an ordinary life, right? All the things, I mean, people brush teeth, we brush too, right? Am I right? Our teeth don't just turn clean just because we're Christians, you know? We do all the ordinary things that every person do. Our lives is actually very ordinary. No? Yes or no? You drive a car, don't you? I mean, everybody does too. You have to eat, they have to eat. You go through ups and downs. They go through ups and downs. You too go through ups and downs. Don't say, I'm a Christian. I never have downtime. You're deceiving me. You know, no, we have ups and downs. They have laughters and tears. So do we. So do we. They have adversities in life, and so do we. They have happy hours. So do we. Am I right? We are actually very ordinary people. There's some Christians who long to live in an extraordinary way, such as some of the Pentecostal people, you know. They think Christians should be angelic. The Christian life is angelic. The Christian life is so spiritual that it is just not ordinary. They are wrong. Our life is actually very ordinary. But it is mysteriously ordinary. That means while we experience and go through these things like everyone else in the world, there's something mysterious in us. Mysterious in us. For example, we suffer loss of people, right? Our saints who would pass away, our dear ones would depart, and so on and so forth. You know, the saints, right? But for them, there's no hope. That's it. That's sad and sorrowful and that like that. But we mysteriously have a hope. Huh? Have a hope. And so in our funeral or memorial times, we're not just sad and in a hopeless way. We actually, in a lot of the memorial meetings, we are actually, what should I say? I wouldn't say full of joy, but I would say filled with what? Filled with hope, filled with encouragement. You know, this recently, you know, Brother Ron Kanga's wife died, Sister Susan. You know this, right? I mean, you know, the word is out. So we had the gravesite. About 200 saints came in a tent. And so at the end, Brother Ron gave a little word about his wife, how they met, this and that. And at the end, he quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, the chapter on resurrection. And he said, we planted corruptible, right? The seed is planted corruptible. and it is raised incorruptible. And so he was referring to, he was pointing to the casket where his wife's body laid. He said, brothers and sisters, and of course he is in grief. Of course, that would be inhuman not to be grieving when your loved one like your spouse passed away. But all that time, it was you just have the flavor of resurrection. And he said, you know what we're doing today? We're not burying Susan. Today we are planting her. Incorruption. But as sure as things are, she will be raised incorruptible. That means the day of resurrection. Am I right? So we are mysteriously ordinary people. We go through all the things. You know, some of us go through very difficult things in life. Sickness. You know, loss of jobs. And all manners of things. And a robber came and robbed your house. And things that happened to other people happened to us too. The car got totaled, you know what I mean? But with the people in the world, when those things happen, they curse, they said bad luck, they say, you know, they get all messed up. But with us, my goodness, some would say, praise the Lord. My car just got totaled. Now that is not a comment of irresponsibility. But there is a source in this person, in this brother, that transcends, you know, that loss or that accident and all these things. So you get my point. We are mysterious people, but we live so in such an ordinary ways. How about this? That's just a few examples. Miraculously normal. If you go read that book, and Brother Lee actually talk about a normal life, and all these 8 points of twos and threes, Brother Lee talked about in his way. And he said, we are in the world, but we're not like this world. We live among the worldly people, but we are not like them. We live with a different life. We live with a different goal. We live for a different purpose. And so our life is the kind of life that actually man should live. And we can live that life not because we can, not because we're able to. We live that life because that life, that special life, is within us. So these things about reading the Bible, calling on the Lord, all these things, these very, very normal things. But while we're doing these things, practicing these things, actually something very miraculous is taking place. Very miraculous is taking place between God and us. Between God and us. I look at you. I mean, these 24 hours, I look at you. I look at Rich. I look at Birch. I look at the wives. I look at so many. And as I said last night, why are you still here? I mean, like, it's strange, isn't it? Why aren't you out there just, you know, enjoying life and, you know what I mean, doing all the things that at your age you should be doing or enjoying? Why are you still here sitting in this Marriott listening to someone like me talking? taking notes, you know. You are really strange people. You have a lot of better things to do, you know, to enjoy retirement. Am I right? To do all kinds of things. But here we are, like we have nothing better to do than to sit here and talk about God and talk about Christ, the church, twos and threes, you know. This is really, really, only the strange people will do what we're doing this weekend. Am I right? And sometimes even I scratch my head, why am I doing this? I'm flying up here twice a month now, and let me tell you, it's 1 hour flight on Southwest, and Southwest is my favorite airline. Notwithstanding that, still flying here, going through the airport, the TSA, thank God I'm finally pre, meaning I don't need to take off my shoes nor my belt. Okay? Notwithstanding that, it is still, I mean, hours to the airport up here. And then when I come up here, I would be subject to this excruciating schedule that the brothers have prepared, standing on a place where the wind blows on me. And likely when I get home, I'll get sick. Why? I ask myself, man, why are you doing this? You've got a lot of better things to do than that, right? Like sitting under a palm tree in Hawaii, drinking my pina colada, or whatever you drink. I don't know what that is. Anyway, I have a lot of important things to do. I ask all of you, really, what on earth are you doing here? Did you gone crazy? Did someone bend your mind? Some mind benders got the better of you? I don't know. But somehow we're here. And somehow we kind of still like it. And we're still subjecting ourselves to this. And as far as I can tell, I'm going to keep doing this, it seems, until I die. You say, that is not a very, very encouraging prospect. I don't know. Well, enough of this to show us, dear saints, it's mysterious. It is miraculous. That's our life. That's our life today. Inexplicable. No one understands. Even I don't understand. But there is just that something within me. That's the Lord. That's God. Okay, here we are. I said enough about that. Now, I have actually a thought at first to say something about what the Lord is doing today in his recovery. What is the current move of God on this earth, and what is the need of the Lord's recovery today? Now, I don't know whether I should do that or go there. Because in 2 weeks, we're going to have a special meeting on Lord's Day to say something to all the saints in this Northern California on that matter. So I don't know whether to get into that or not. I still don't know standing here right now. I just know that looking at you, if someone should know that, it's you, even before the younger ones. It's you. But we have only 1 hour left. And I don't want to give everything away so that you won't come 2 weeks from now. So I think I better not do that. Leave you a little bit hanging there. I just came back from Boston, and I spoke to the brothers, and I spoke to the sisters. The brothers are those who were going to start their eldership training like here. They're starting it next month. This is the greater Boston area. And then the sisters are the wives, just like here. The brothers learn from the brothers here and say, you have to speak to the wives, because the wives are the ones that really determine everything. So I did. My goodness, I stood up and talked to the brothers, and I forgot about the training completely. I totally forgot about the training. I spent 2 hours talking to them about the world history and the U.S. history and the recovery history in this country, bringing it up to the present moment. 2 hours. And then I talked to the sisters. So my job is very clear. Talk to the sisters, tell them to release their husbands. And when I got up, I totally forgot about that. And I talked to the sisters about what happened since Brother Lee died. In these last 20 years, I listed for them almost 8 great blessings that the Lord has bestowed on his recovery in these last 20 years. And my final conclusion was, since we have received this blessing, today we are at a point readied for the greatest blessing, and that is a revival.
Amen.
A coming revival. The Lord didn't bless us in these 20 years just to bless us. He wanted to see something more.
Amen.
Something much more for those of you who came from Eldon, much, much more. So anyway, I spent an hour and a half talking to those sisters and forgetting my burden with them again. But apparently after hearing that, they all agreed to release the husbands. So at least I did my job. All right, I don't have the time today. I really think it's a little wind down, and also, it's kind of in the afternoon, so we'll do it another time. I like, first of all, in the spirit of a talk, just to even give time, open time, for any questions you have, any fellowship that you have. Some sisters came to me, some brothers came to me with all manners of questions. Some I have answered for, some I don't. But I like to open this way so there's give and take. Give and take. Anything you heard this weekend, anything that you have a question about, you just feel free. Feel free. You have anything? All right, if you don't, that's fine. How about I'd like to hear from you? Now, turn the tables. I'd like to hear from you. I've been speaking I don't know how many hours this last 24 hours. I'd like to hear from you saying something. How about you share something about something that motivated you or stirred you or inspired you this weekend? And maybe even some resolve you have or some decision you made as a result of this speaking, how to go on, in the church life. Is that okay? My burden is after this weekend, we will effect the beginning of some change, some improvement. How about we all have this burden to have a bit of adjustment and evaluation and reorder our lives with this in view. As old as we are, we can still change. You know, change is scary for older people, you know. You just don't want to change. But change is also exciting. There's some adjustment, you know, some change. If you read the book, the Messages to the Working Saints, really talk about you need to go back and start to budget your time. In older saints, you need to budget your times. Otherwise, they will be squandered and wasted. He said you need to put together some kind of schedule for your life. Let's say a weekly schedule. It is healthy. I think older people waste time too. Except their time seemed to pass by a lot quicker. So the amount of time it seems to they have wasted, it seems to be more than when you were young. And when you were young, you waste some time, it's like you didn't lose much. Now, at our age, you waste an hour, it's like you wasted a day. And so I think it behooves us to order our life and schedule our life for the Lord's sake, for the sake of the Lord's interest. You also talk about budgeting your energy. Our energy surely is getting a little bit more and more limited. So you need to put your energy at the right place. At the right place. You know, I think Brother Ron Kangas, when he came here, he said, you know, you don't need to try to solve all the problems. You know, at a certain point, you cannot solve all the problems. And don't try to solve the problems. You have to take care of the positive things, you see. You have to channel your positive energy towards things rather than being held back by the negative energy, things like that, right? Really also talk about budgeting your finances. Your finances as older saints. How should we use our finances to give for our needs and so many different things? You need to consider that and order that as well. So with a more ordered schedule like this, you tend to not waste that much time, and you tend to get more things done. I think for the Lord's sake, that is a very, very good exercise.